one is done. And we at the From the Horses Mouth are back to look ahead to day two of the Punchestown Festival in the company once again of Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey. Brilliant day one, really enjoyed it. Now we move on as we record the day before day one, but it was great. We're going to look ahead to seven more races. Again, a nice mixture of handicaps and grade ones. We have got one of the best looking gold cups. It's about so many sponsors at this stage, but at the best looking gold cups I think we've seen in a long time. It really is a belter of a race, but we have got plenty of racing for them, including the Martinstown Opportunity Final, which is a nice little opener, Frank, to get things underway at 3:40. I'm sure there'll be extra places. I spoke to you off air, Frank, and I thought, geez, we're operating without prices. There's no way you'll have one first in this race. You've got two.
I've got two that I liked, yeah. The first one, I suppose, being Martinstown sponsoring it. One's a JP horse. Thanks for the help. David Pripe trains it, brings it over here for its handicap debut, sports a first-time tongue tie. Shane Fitzgerald's booked. He's probably one of the best, if not the best, jockeys in the race. This horse progressing with every start of hurdles, was second last time at Wincanton, over just shy of 2 miles, just behind 129 rated horse, was getting £7 that day. I think the step up and trip would bring about a bit of improvement. David Pipe's in a bit of form the last couple of weeks. 5 winners and 24 winners, and a mark of 109 could really underestimate him. And the other one then is Edison Kent for Jessie Harrington. In the last 5 years, she's had 2 winners, a second and a fourth in this race. She has 2 in here. She has Jury as well, who bolted up in the race last year off a mark of 113, only £6 higher. And is trained by and is owned by JP McMahon, so he looks like he's been laid out for 2. But I just thought Edison Kent was a bit interesting. He's likely to be a price. He won a Killarney in a maiden hurdle last May over 2.5 miles. He's far from consistent, very inconsistent actually. But he did finish half a length second to Tully Begg at Navan in September on good round over 2.6 miles, and he was getting £4 that day. Tully Begg's rated 136. Back in third was Bardenstown Lad, who finished third in the Albert Bartlett. He's been poor since, but I think the run of Fairy House, which was his first since December, was probably needed a bit, and should leave him spot on for this. And I'd be pretty sure a mark of 119 is workable when he's on a going day. And hopefully, as I said, hopefully this will be a going day for him. And I anticipate a very big price.
Should be. Edison Kent, and thanks for the help too against the field in the Martinstown Opportunity Final. Remember a good few pods ago, Frank, we had a chat about a horse who I said, well, Jim Bulger, right? He operates out of a training centre called Cool Cullen, and there's no way he'd name a bad horse Cool Cullen. No. Well, guess who's a reserve for this race?
Oh.
Cool Cullen. I'm sure it's a long-term plan Jim had. He said, when I'm naming this fella, I'm going to have a laid out and send him to Brendan Duke and put him in the Martinstown Opportunity Hurdle Final.
Oh, that was
Jim's a man with a plan. Jim's a man with a plan. I hope that gets in. Go on, Brendan Duke's Cool Cullen. Let's move on to the quarter past four. This is the auction series final, the Connolly's Red Mills RGBF auction series final. £75,000. So it's going to take a bit of winning. But this race at Ruby, there are a few restrictions in terms of getting into this, like grade one horses don't tend to. Yeah, do you want to call them out for us?
It has been purchased as an unraced 3 or 4 year old at public auction under the hammer in Ireland or GB for €45,000 or less at a recognised national hunt sale, and then not have been purchased at public auction under the hammer in Ireland or GB for any more than €45,000 at any time. In the current season have run in or been balloted from at least one qualifier race in this Connolly's Red Mills Irish EBF auction series, and which have not at any time won a listed or weight for age race.
It's the type of content people tune in for, isn't it?
More restrictions than COVID. Jesus.
Glenn Gooley.
When it was initially put up, the restrictions weren't that tight. And then I think Jiggistown 1-1 and Willie 1-1 with the mayor Katie won the bumper on Relegate. She ran and made an hurdle. So then it was, oh no, we have to try and keep them out.
Still managed
to get it. Still going to win it.
The more you look at it, the more you wonder why they just don't put it at the top of the page. A maiden hurdle for horses not trained by Willie Mullins or Gordon Elliott.
Well, Willie Mullins managed to get one in, and Gordon Elliott's got one in too. So Glenn Gooley, yeah, winner of last 2.
They'll do something next year to try and push them out again.
Or Willie Mullins. The heart bleeds.
No, but sure, look, it just goes to show you can still go and purchase a horse for less than €45,000 at an unraced ale and end up with a decent one. Glenn Gooley has been on the improve, won well at Goran Park on Tyestes Day. Beat the same horse twice, Sam's Choice. Won at Leopardstown over 2 miles. Definitely 2.5 will suit. But you'd have to think that Freedom to Dream, fourth to Manila, Cook Cooner at the Dublin Racing Festival, fourth in Cheltenham behind Banbridge, would stick out like a sore thumb in this race.
That was kind of the one I was going to talk to you about, Frank. Is that the one that you had your eye on?
I've run a cracker in the Martin Pipe, and he's run well at the Dublin Racing Festival, and he probably will be favoured. But do you know something? I think Glenn Gooley might upset him. We get a lot of requests, you know, all the time for horses, for bumpers, you know, champion bumper, you know, way out and whatever. And this is one that we got quite a few requests for before he ever ran. And look, obviously, he's not maybe as good as people thought, but at the same time, you know, he didn't really learn to race either for a while. Very keen, but the last twice been a lot better. I thought he was very good at Gorn, and dropping back 2 miles probably isn't his best trip, but he still did it nicely enough at Leopardstown, I thought. And going back up in trip is going to suit him. And depending on the prices, yeah, if Freedom to Dream is favourite, which probably will be, I'd probably chance Glenn Gooley.
Okay. All right. We'll keep an eye out for those two, Freedom to Dream and Glenn Gooley. Moving on to the Louis Fitzgerald Hotel Hurdle. This also has a condition. Basically, if you want more than one hurdle race, you can't run in it. And there's some surprising horses who still have only got the one hurdle win to their name, the likes of Classic Getaway, Field du Derie, second to Langerdan at Aintree, is in this for Nicky Henderson, Ganapathy for Willie Mullins, also has Gibraltar, Largy Debut for Henry Brummett's had some good form. Right, Ruby, there's a few for Willie in this race. I mentioned a few of them there. What are your thoughts on the Louis Fitzgerald?
Yeah, Classic Getaway has been disappointing. Ganapathy definitely didn't run up to his mark at Cork behind the Irascible. Gibraltar looks... I don't know, is he a mark to win this race either and what he's done on the track thus far. Largy Debut, when he beat Kilcrut in the maiden hurdle at Cork, looked to have the world at his feet, but he's been disappointing since. And I thought Field du Derie was the obvious one for Nicky Henderson and Nico de Boinville. Two really solid runs his last two starts behind Unaccepted Party and Langerdan. You can line up in two handicaps, but talk about running into two unexposed types. And that's exactly what Field du Derie did. Previously trained by Joseph, I think, wasn't he?
I think it was, yeah.
Here in Ireland. And I think he'd be the one to beat.
Van Kiki?
Yeah, look, Willie and Jesse have split the last six runnings between them. As Ruby said there, I think Ganapathy's been a bit disappointing. Classic Getaway a bit disappointing. I just don't think Gibraltar's good enough. Jesse's got Cross Hill. He was a bit disappointing two starts over fences. Like, the first time probably wasn't too bad when he was beating my CL in the edge. I think a third is over 2 miles too. He went back to hurdles last time, but it was disappointing. He wears cheek pieces. He has the ability to get involved if on a going day. But as Ruby said there, Field du Derie is the one who's going to take a fair bit of beating. I thought it was a cracking run at Aintree. He was beaten less than 2 lengths by Langerdan, who was obviously thrown in. He was running off a mark of 140 that day. There were 8 lengths clear of the third, who was the unexposed Balco Coastal. And Jerry Claremont was fourth, who had finished third behind the Mascot, behind Unexpected Party and Field du Derie. So I think, you know, I think you could argue that the right horses were around him that day. And he's a pound clear of Ganapathy in the ratings. And I think he's definitely the one to beat.
Fair enough. We'll keep an eye on Nicky Henderson. Loves a winner at the Punchestown Festival.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Now, move on to Grade 1 action. This is the Grade 1 3-mile novice hurdle, due off at 5:20. The Nice Guy is the 9-4 favourite. Paul Townend has chosen him this time. Manila Cocooner, 7-2. Both Manila Cocooner and Crooner are in this race. 11-2 Journey With Me, who's supposed to be the next Bob Olinger, I suppose, when he won all the similar races for the same connections. Bron for Willie Mullins is 7-1. Manila Crooner, 7-1. 10-1 Barnstown Lad, and also Hollow Games. Frank, to you, this is quite a good renewal, and Paul Townend this time is on the Nice Guy.
Yeah, I hadn't seen any prices, to be honest with you. Like, Journey With Me is, you know, I think he's fascinating because I think he does shape like a 3-miler, and I know he ran in the Bannimore and he was running a very good race when he fell at the last. And the Nice Guy is improving. But for me, when I watched the Albert Bartlett, I just felt Manila Kahuna was the best horse in the race. Just how keen he was the whole way around. Like, I couldn't believe he was still able to find up the hill. I know he was beaten in second, but I thought it was a massive effort. And I think Punchestown might even suit him a bit better. And hopefully he might settle a bit better. He'd be the one I'd be interested in. I think he can reverse with the nice guy. I would keep an eye on Daily Present for Paul Nolan. I'd love for him to get another good horse. Obviously, he's lost Lay's Exhibition and Discorama this year, so it's been tough on him. This horse easily beat Bron at Navan, relatively easily, over 2 miles, 6 furlongs. And they had Digby back and forth. That horse won a decent handicap at Fairy House over Easter. He might be a wild price. I actually don't know what price he is. What price is there,
Daily Present currently 20 to 1.
Yeah. Might have something small each way in him, but Manila Kahuna would be the one I'd fancy.
Manila Kahuna.
No, Manila Kahuna.
Lovely. Just making sure.
Yeah, Manila Kahuna again. Like, he was favored for the Albert Bartlett before he missed it with injury. I actually think it's a cracking renewal. It's a brilliant race.
Yeah, it's a very good race. Yeah. Ruby?
I can see Frank's argument and point of view for what Manila Kahuna did. And you think, you know, change of tactics, change of race, change of venue. But I thought all those things when Manila Indo beat Alaho and we came back to Punchestown and Manila Indo still beat Alaho. So history has told me, see what you see, stick with what you saw, and that's the nice guy. It was only his fourth start over hurdles as well, the nice guy. So who's to say he hasn't improved again since Cheltenham? So I'm going to stick with the nice guy to uphold the form of a Bardenstown lad and Manila Kahuna. Manila Kahuna is definitely of interest, and I would agree with Frank. Daily Presence form is looking better all the time.
Okay, we'll keep an eye out for the Manilas, but the nice guy to confirm the form. Paul Tennant switches to him, and Danny Mullins goes to the Kahuna. Now we go to, I think this is a fantastic deal of the Punchestown Gold Cup. It's Geoff at 5.55. Again, I love an L shop mention, and if you go into a shop, you have a free bet in the race. Simple. Doesn't matter who you are. You can walk in and have a free bet in this race up to a tenner. It's Geoff at 5.55. I'll run down through the prices for this race. At the moment, Alaho's the favourite. It's probably going to go favourite. He's 15-8. 4-1, Clan de Zobo for Paul Nichols, looking to win it again. 9-2 Manila Indo, 6-1 Galvin, 10-1 Fakir Duderi up to 3 miles, 14-1 Album Photo, 14-1 Tornado Flyer, the King George winner, 16-1 Janadil, and 25-1 Kemboy, who of course won this race a couple of years ago. Ruby on board. Was it 3 years ago, Ruby?
2019.
Yeah, right, 3 years ago. Right, Ruby, to you. Alaho, I guess the question on a lot of people's lips will be 3 miles.
I'd say the question will be, will he stay or not?
Yeah, that's what I mean by
He's definitely running a 3 mile race.
Wow.
Will Alaho.
I cannot get away with having this. Wow. I tried to shorten it, but apparently now we're going to talk more about it. Yeah.
Alaho, say, Ruby. He's had 5 runs over fence, over 3 miles, I mean. He's won once at Clonmel when he beat Manila Indo on a novice hurdle. And on the other 4 occasions, he's come up short twice over hurdles behind Manila Indo, behind a Plutar at Leopardstown. I don't know, PK. I think he'll stay. I do think he'll stay. He's definitely a more relaxed horse now than he was. He's an 8-year-old. He's a bit more age on his side. And, you know, Punchestown should suit him. But I do think Clan de Zobo will push him and make it a test of stamina. I think it'll be a much stronger run race than the Gold Cup was because of that reason. You'll have Alaho at the front and you'll have Clan de Zobo pushing him. You have Kemboy in a pair of cheek pieces. So I think this could be a much stronger race than we saw at Cheltenham. If it is, and if Alaho doesn't happen to stay, I think Galvin is the value. I think he got caught out worse than a steadily run Cheltenham Gold Cup. But my belief is that Alaho will get home, and he's too good for the opposition.
Alaho. Frank, you said on numerous pods that if Alaho ran in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, which is 3.25 miles, of course, he would win it. So I'm going to assume you're going to fancy him here.
Yeah, I really do. You have to remember, he was only, a length behind Manila Indo in the RSA when Champ nailed the two of them in the last 100 yards. It wasn't like he, you know, travelled to 2 out and found nothing. Like, he ran really well, and you have to remember, he was only a 6-year-old, and I keep saying it's very hard for 6-year-olds to win the RSA or whatever it's called now.
Brown Advisory,
yeah. And I just think, look, you could say maybe his very best performances are left-handed and going right-handed is a question mark, but he ran really well behind Shaka Perswell last year, and 2 miles just too short for him. Like, he's just not quick enough for that, but he still ran really well to only beat in five lengths. He's been really, really impressive in the Ryanair the last 2 years. He's won the John Durkin this year. He's just a very, very good horse. And I'd actually be disappointed if he gets beaten. I hope he wins, and then, you know, it might open up King George next year and you'd see from there. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, they've got the King George winner elsewhere, Tornado Flyer and something else. Right, so two votes for Alaho from the lads. He will stay the 3 miles, no problem, too. Move on to the next grade one. It is the Champion Bumper. It's due up at 6:30, and no surprise to see Facile Vega as the odds-on favourite. 4-6, Patrick on board. American Mike, 3-1, has got to turn the form around. 8-1, Redemption Day, similarly well-beaten at Cheltenham. Seabank Bistro is 9-1, 16-1 for Sander Clegane, who has... pretty was talked up in places before Cheltenham, wasn't he, Sander Clegane? 33-1 Viva DeVito, 50-1 and bigger your remainder. I'll go to you first, Frank. Any reason to oppose Facile Vega?
Nope.
Frank Hickey, who is this guy? Tipping the pots on favourites.
What's the danger? American Mike, he's beaten him already. And you could argue American Mike had a better, you know, trip through the race and everything. And he still beat him.
Okay.
So yeah, Yeah, would it be dying to plough into him at that price? No, but certainly wouldn't want to be trying to pick something to beat him.
Fair enough. Ruby Walsh?
I'm in the same. I think even by walk in the park, he could be a better horse on the sounder surface. You might have a Punchestown on Wednesday evening than you had in Cheltenham, which surely would have suited the Mahler out of American Jenny. So I think Facile Vega. Really strong.
Well, okay, no problems for Facile Vega. Vega, that wins the Champion Bumper and makes it 4 in a row under Patrick. Moving on to the handicap chase on the card over 2 mile, 5 furlongs. This is Joe 5 past 7. Willie Mullins, unsurprisingly, has got plenty of runners. He's got Royal Rendezvous, who was pulled up at Aintree last night. He's got Animix. He's also got Ciel de Neige in the race. Mark Walsh on board. That's interesting. Then down towards the bottom, Egality Man. So a quartet of runners, Ruby, for Willie Mullins. Which of the four would you say is the best chance?
I think Royal Rendezvous didn't handle Aintree at all. Made it bad, brave at the chair, and made a mistake after that very early, and was pulled up behind Mac Totty. Had run okay at Clonmel behind Fakir Dudari. He was beaten a long way, but I think a mark of 160, it's £7 above his Galway plate win. Not sure he has much in hand. Thought Animix ran a blinder in the Topham Chase at Aintree, but just not sure he's as good at a park track at this trip. Might want a bit further. We had four, you said, Egality Man. I think he wants to go further. He won over 3 miles and won at Wexford. It was no match for Lifetime Ambition the last time, but dropping down a trip wouldn't be for me. I think it's Ciel de Neige. Got beat a nose by French Dynamite at Thurles over 2 miles and two. Had beaten Fire Attack in Punchestown over 2 miles, but he beat Busselton and Navan over 2.5. I think the trip would really suit Ciel de Neige, and he'd be the one for me.
Fair enough. All right, Mark Walsh on board for JP. Frank?
Yeah, I'd take a chance on Foxy Jacks. He won the race last year off a mark of 128. He runs here off 138. He shaped really well on a number of occasions this year. I thought he ran a lot better than, you know, the finishing position of seventh. Beaten 8 lengths would suggest in the Paddy Power Christmas, he just didn't really stay at the 3 miles. He was then second at Birchdale over 2.5 at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. In the Ultima then, again over 3 miles and a furlong, tanked into the race, made a bad mistake, 3 out, stamina just gave way then. And in the Topham, he was in front rank when he fell at the 9th. He's only £2 higher in that second to Birchdale, and going back right-handed is a massive positive. I anticipate he should be a fair enough price as well. So Foxy Jacks for me.
He generally does go off a fair price, and he's going the right way around, given the way he jumps anyway. Let's hope he is. Right, so Foxy Jacks and Ciel de Neige to watch out for. One more race, the graded Mare's Bumper on the card, due off at 7:45. Again, we're looking for William Mullins' horses, Ava Grace. You've also got Nikini Pink in the park, who was put up again, potentially as a horse who could go well at Cheltenham, and True Light, who's one run, one win. So again, a quartet, Ruby, for you to go through.
Yeah, again, a quartet. Quartet is right. Ava Grace has been busy. Ran at Dublin Racing Festival, went to Sandown and came back to Ferry House, who was 6 behind Doran's Weir. It's hard to see her turning the form with Nikini or Pink in the Park. Patrick swaps. He rode Nikini at Ferry House. He's gotten back on Pink in the Park this afternoon, tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon, whatever day we're on. And True Light won first time up at Tremor last week. I think Pink in the Park got to Doran's Weir with a good turn of foot, and Fairy House and Doran's Weir out battled her. I think she'll uphold the form of Willie's other three. But Lily de Burleigh was a good winner at the Dublin Racing Festival, came from well off a strong pace, and I think she came to mug Battling Bessie, and I'd be with Battling Bessie for Peter Vahey.
Battling Bessie, Derek O'Connor rides. Interesting shout. Frank, any thoughts on this?
I think it's a very good race, actually, yeah. You can definitely see the angle for Lily de Burleigh or Battling Bessie. I'd be willing to take a chance on one, Jatara. Only made her debut a couple of weeks ago, punched down over 2.5 miles. I really like the way she travelled and battled then when she had to get by walking the breezy of Willie Mullins. That horse of benefit experience had been second at Goran on debut. She's a walk in the park filly out of Jaylan, who won a bumper. Jaylan's sister to Jesky, half-sister to Jet and Jarrett. So she's really well-bred. And I liked what I saw at Punchtown. And again, with the other horses all having graded form, she's likely to be a price. So
I think they're both going to be big prices. Battling Bessie, the one horse, and down the bottom, Jatara, 13 for Frank and Ruby. That's day two wrapped up, gentlemen. Hopefully a wonderful day with a brilliant Gold Cup, but we need a winning nap. And Ruby, I'm going to come to you first.
Hello.
Alaho. Simple for Ruby Walsh. 15 to 8 at the time of recording. Frank Kiki?
Alaho.
Oh, my word.
But just think, I'll do something different. People might want to do a double, but Edison Kent in the 340.
That's your next best, or are we? Because no, that's
we'll go nap. We'll go nap. Do you know something? We'll go, you know, all duck or no dinner, sort of thing.
Edison, he's going to be a big prize, isn't he?
He's going to be a huge prize, yeah.
My word. Edison Kent with form figures of 062P50. is going to win.
I think it would be a shout for the ages if this wins.
It would be that. There's no doubt, frankly.
Edison Kent. All right, you won't be Clark Kent. You'd be Superman if this one goes in. Frank, Edison Kent is nap on it's day two.
Yeah, if it runs poorly, I might be called Edison something different. The runs of Kent, man.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We've covered the first 2 days, and we'll be back as ever to look ahead to day three and right throughout the week. We'll be back at, would you believe, the 2,000 guineas and the 1,000 guineas of the weekend. We haven't even talked about the guineas yet this week. I assume you both got the winner of it, yeah?
Yeah, I think it's sacrilege to talk about the guineas before Punchestown even starts.
Yeah. Remember who my father is.
I do not believe he said that.
Remember who my father is. Bread for the flat, and I'll forever be bread for the flat. Gentlemen, we'll be back tomorrow to look ahead to day three. By the way, hope you have a great week at the Punchestown Festival. Remember Friday, do pop in early on the Friday. It's a long day. Myself and Frank Kiki might be in the parade ring giving a nice little preview. And come up and say hello to us as well if you get a pass, as long as you're not wearing white runners. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Don't wear white runners.
I think we're judging the fashion. Is it?
That. Best turned out and given loads of winners. Best turned out would be interesting. Right, gentlemen, see you tomorrow. Thank you very much. Day three coming up tomorrow.